All right, let's grab our Bibles this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. You need to borrow a Bible, you lift your hand up. Ushers can get you one. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, 14. And when we're done reading, just keep your Bible open there to chapter 25. Any other verses we look at will come out of this chapter this morning. So anyway, let's go ahead and stand. If you have that, in honor for the reading of God's Word this morning, Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15. And then we'll skip down to verse 29 to start us off this morning. We'll pray, then let you be seated. Verse 14 and 15 here says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Verse 29, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." And this morning we're going to talk about, can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today. We just pray that you'd bless, Father, the folks that have come now, and bless this time now. Use me to deliver a message that will be a help now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? I had a different message prepared for this morning about difficulties and hardships, and I'll probably preach that maybe next Sunday. I know some folks have hardships you're dealing with and difficulties, but I realized it's the end of the stewardship month now almost, and I had been so distracted this month and with some other things and so forth, I hadn't really dealt much with it other than what you've had in the Sunday school lessons. And so because of that, I wanted to give you something this morning along those lines that's different though than what's been talked about in Sunday school over the past several weeks this month. And so anyway, I wanted to give you some things here in Matthew chapter 25. The story here is of a master who went on a journey, took a journey or a trip, and he called together some of his servants. And what he did is he gave them what says 1 5 talents, then 1 2 talents, then he gave to one just 1 talent. And so when he was giving out here these talents, and this isn't talent like to sing or to paint or to something like that. It's not that type of talent. This particular talents were measures of money. And so what he was giving out talents of money. So to 1 5, to another 2, and to another 1 talent of money. Now, the master went away for a season, the Bible says, and then he returned. And he called those 3 men together, those servants, and he brought them back to himself and basically called them in. So wanted to know what result they had with the talent of money that he had given to them. And so he asked them to give an account of their, guess what, stewardship. Remember, stewardship is when you're managing somebody else's property or affairs. And so these men became stewards of the talents of money that he gave them. 1 5, 1 2, 1 1. And so he gave them different measures of money and had them to be stewards over it with this money. And he wanted to know how they did. Now, the first replied that he had five, and what did he produce? Five more, didn't he? So he now had 10 talents of money, didn't he? He showed good stewardship, didn't he? Then he had the other one. He checked on him. And the second man had gained also with his two talents, didn't he? So now he had what? Four talents, right? So now the master had said, here he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And that's what he said to the guy with five. And of course, then he'd ask the man with the two talents how he did. And he had invested and had the four. And so the second man, truthfully, was just as successful as the first man, wasn't he? He just didn't have as many. But he doubled what he had, didn't he? The first one had five, and he got what? Five more, right? The second one had two, and he got what? Two more. So he was successful also, even though he had responsibility for less. Now look at verse 21 in chapter 25 here. It says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Look at verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the man that had five talents was no better than the man that had two talents. He was no more important than the man that had five talents, but the man that had five talents was no more important than the man that had two talents. And so it just so happened the master chose which one to give it to as far as more. So it was all by whose grace then? The master's grace as far as what he was given to be steward over, right? Exactly right. And so the master says to the two-talented man who gained another two talents the same thing. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many. Then the master comes to the man to whom he had given one talent. And what did he do? He asked him how he did. And the man replied to his master, and here's from the verse, I know you are a hard taskmaster, and I was afraid if I invested that one talent that I would lose it. So I dug a hole in the ground and buried it. So the master's response to him was what? To take the talent away and give it to the man that had 10. Right? He wasn't too happy with this one. Did he reap any benefits or any dividends, let's say? No. He didn't gain anything with that. All he managed to do is hang on to the one talent. That's all he did. So he kind of felt, I'm sure, like it was a waste, because if he would have given it to one of the others, it would have probably brought more for him. So now here's God. He's the master. What's he leave? His servants behind to do his work, right? So his servants behind are those who are saved, right? Are supposed to be his servants, right? Amen. Those that are saved are supposed to be his servants. We're supposed to do his work. Amen. We're supposed to do his work. So we are to be stewards of the work of God that needs to be done. So these servants are responsible agents that have a trust over something that's not their own. Amen. Bear in mind, these men had five, two, and one talent. It was not their money, though, was it? But they were in charge of it, and so it wasn't really their money to invest. They just had the charge of it. They were the custodians or the trustees of someone else's money. And so likewise, God has given each of his children a stewardship. Of course, a lot of times we talk about the stewardship of money and so forth with our personal finances, because everything we have belongs to God, right? That's not really what I'm going to talk about this morning, but that's all part of this thing of stewardship, and that's what we emphasize a lot this month, and probably haven't this year as much as we normally do in years past, probably for several reasons, but that's what stewardship is. It's a part of it. But I'm going to talk about a little bit different part of this thing of stewardship, and that's the work that God has for us to do. And God gives everybody a work to do. Some have more responsibility in that work than others, but he has an intention for every person who's a child of God, who's been born again, washed in the blood, amen. And if you haven't been, you're going to go to hell one day. But if you've been born again, washed in the blood, you're going to go to heaven one day, amen. And so for everybody who's had that experience of accepting Christ, that has made you a servant of God, and therefore we are to be good stewards in what God has for us to do. Now, if you're somebody who's newly saved, you may not have a lot of ideas about what exactly God will have you to do, and that's fine. That you'll figure that out in time. If you keep coming to church and growing in the Lord, you'll figure out what God has for you to do. But some of you who've been saved longer and so forth, you've got some areas of responsibilities, and some may feel like it's not much, and others may feel like they've got more, and in some cases, some do have more as far as responsibility. But nobody's more important than anybody else. I will promise you that, and I'll get back to that thought process of it a little bit later. But God gives a bigger trust sometimes. I'll give you an example. God had, he's not pastor there anymore, but God had given my preacher, a bigger of the church I came from in Texas, a bigger trust than he's given me. He pastored a much larger church with much more responsibilities to it, with much more people to pastor, and so he gave Dr. Gray a greater responsibility than what he had given me, or a larger trust, we shall say, than he's given to myself at this point in time. So, but that doesn't make any pastor more important than another pastor. It just means they have a larger area of trust, but they're all stewards over something that God has given them as far as a work to do and be responsible for. Now, it's all by God's grace that he decides to give one person five, to another two, and to another one. Now, it did say several ability, so I think God realizes some people will have more ability than others, but also it may get to the point where, hey, listen, the guy that's a two-talent guy, he did something with what he had, and guess what? He actually did just as much as the other guy did as far as successfulness. He just didn't have as big of an amount. The guy with five doubled. The guy with two doubled. And doubled. Doubled. There we go. Ain't got enough fingers. Doubled. And so, the truth of the matter is that he also was successful, even though he had a smaller trust that was given to him at that time. Now, don't miss this, because I'm not speaking of singing or art or so forth like what we normally call talent, although I think everybody's got some talents, and I think everybody's responsible to use those talents for the Lord and all of that, but that's not what I want to talk about this morning, really at all. God does not decide based on our merit. It's not based on our merit as to who we trust. Not at all, folks. Now, what I want to do is give you a few points this morning I think can be a help to you, and that's this. Number one, no one knows which they are at first. And I'll explain what that means in a moment. No one knows which they are at first. No one knows which they are at first. Young people don't know what God's going to entrust them with or entrust them to do one day. Not at first. No. No one knows at first which they are. No one knows which they are at first. No one knows whether they're a five-talented person or a two-talented person or a one-talented person at the beginning. The truth is no one has to know, and at first they will not know. And it's not necessary that they know. In fact, to be honest with you, they'll probably be better off if they don't know. But the fact that if you even ever know, it doesn't matter. It's the fact of, can God trust you with what he's placed you to be a steward over? Can God trust you? The one talented person, could he be trusted by the master? Apparently not. Because what did he do with it? He stuck it in a hole and buried it. Oh, he hang on to that one, but that wasn't what the master wanted him to do. What did the master want? He wanted two. So he wanted him to do the most with what he had, even if it was only one. And so he must have felt like he was capable of producing something with that into something more, but he did not. So the question is, can God trust you? Can you be trusted? That's the title of our sermon today. Can you be trusted? And the thing is it's different for everybody in different areas of responsibility. In this particular room this morning, there's only one person here that's a pastor. That might change one day. Somebody else in here could be a pastor one day, but right now, I'm the only one that's the pastor here. Anybody else is the pastor here. So I have one area or level of responsibility. You may have other areas and levels of responsibilities in our church that you're responsible for. Can God trust you to do what you're supposed to do with the area he's entrusted you of? But size does not matter, or the area of responsibility does not matter. Some people think it's based on some, we'll put it in the pastor's realm, based on some church size. I don't think so. I remember back in my BBF church days of going and attending and so forth, I don't think we ever attended a church that was larger than 100. Now, maybe back when I was a small kid in our family, I think we probably went to one church that was larger than that. But for the most part, most of the churches we went to weren't very large. They were pretty small churches. In fact, probably more in the realm of like 50. And when my wife and I were first married, I think we went to a lot of different churches because we moved quite a bit. And when I say moved, I don't mean across town. I mean from town to town or place to place, even different states. And went to a lot of different churches. And most of those churches, boy, I think they run about 25 or 35 people like on Sunday morning, maybe 40, some of them. And they weren't very large at all. And one church I went to in Iowa was very, very small. I mean, I'm thinking maybe I'd have been lucky if they had 20 people there on Sunday morning for a while. Anyway, it was very, very small. But that doesn't make the pastor any less of a person. Doesn't make them any less of a pastor than any other pastor somewhere else. They just don't have as much charge, and they haven't been given as much to be responsible for. But it doesn't make them less. I think this, and of course when we went to Texas, then we were finally in the first real big church we'd ever been in there. But too many people worry about what talent level they are at based upon the ministry they work in or have charge of, or the responsibilities that they have. It doesn't matter whether you're pastoring a church, teaching a Sunday school class, or being a bus captain. You may not know what your talent level is, and you may never know, and it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The key is, can you be trusted with what God has entrusted you with? Bus captain, it doesn't matter if you run 25 on the bus or 70. That's not what's important. What's important is, can you be entrusted with the charge that God has given you over what you have? That's the key, amen? Sunday school teacher, your class running 20 or 5 isn't what's most important. It's, can God trust you with what he's given you a charge of to do? And that's the key. You've got to be able to be trusted by God. Number two. So number one, no one knows what's there at first. Number two, give all that you have today, and one day perhaps you will know. Give all that you have today, and one day perhaps you will know. Understand that the five-talented man is not better than the two-talented man. The two-talented man is not necessarily better than the one-talented man. The five-talented man is not better than the one-talented man. It's all ultimately by God's grace. Say, well, boy, one day if I become a pastor, if I could just pastor a big church, God doesn't necessarily do somebody a favor by having them be a pastor of a big church somewhere. See, here's the thing. We've got it all mixed up. We think everything in regards to success is a count of numbers and so forth. Wait a minute. Whose ideology is that? That's the world's ideology. Because it's big, it's successful. Not necessarily. And if it's big, it doesn't mean it's not successful either, or it's liberal or something like that. That doesn't mean that either. But it doesn't necessarily do a favor to that guy who may be a pastor of some big church somewhere. Not necessarily at all. It may not be doing him a favor. There's a lot of responsibility involved with that. It's only the matter of the fact that God simply chose some to take the bigger responsibility than someone else. Because there is more responsibility with the more things that you have to look after and do. So whatever you do, the key is to give it your best. And that should apply to anything in life. Whatever you do, you should do it to your best. Hey, Christian, even if you've just got a job somewhere, guess what you should do? You should be the best employee down there at the job. because you should be doing whatever your responsibilities are to your best, to your best. And that's the key. It needs to be done to the best of your ability. That's what God's looking for. Young preachers should never attempt to decide which they will be, like myself. That's not important. That's not what's important. And say, well, one day maybe I'll know. Maybe I will know one day. Maybe you'll know one day for you. Does that really what matters? If you just do what you're supposed to do, you may figure it out one day when you're towards the end of your life, but that's not what's most important. It's most important is, can God trust me with what he has entrusted me to do? Can God trust you with what he has entrusted you to do? Some of our young folks here have been called to go into the ministry one day. That's wonderful. But God can God trust you with what you've been entrusted to do for him, even right now? Even right now. And I try to give all those people some degree of responsibility to do something around here. But whatever it is, if you're involved in singing, if you're involved in helping in this area or that area, you should be doing it to the best of your ability that you could possibly do it. No one should waste their time attempting to figure out whether they're a 5-talented person or a 2-talented person or a 1-talented person. That's a waste of time. Do what you're supposed to do today, and the rest will take care of itself tomorrow. The man who's pastoring a little country church is not any less of a pastor than a man who's pastoring a large church in a big city somewhere. The truth of the matter is they may or may not be a better person, but that's not the issue. They're not any more important than anybody else. I think of one of our missionaries, Brother Owen. I think he does a wonderful job. He may never have more than 25 people come to that church he's at. He's out in the middle of nowhere on an Indian reservation. There just ain't a lot of people out there. But he gives the gospel out and he wins people to Christ. And you know what? He's reaching people that are not necessarily that easy to reach. That doesn't make him any less of a missionary than somebody that we have that's doing some great work somewhere in another country, someplace, or someplace else. He's doing what God's entrusted him with and doing it to the best of his ability. And I fully believe that. I know him. I know how he works. I know his mentality and so forth. And I realize there are those out there who pastor churches and are missionaries and what, and that aren't good stewards, that aren't doing the work the way they're supposed to, that aren't doing a good job. There are. But for this case in point this morning, it's not for us to worry about that. It's for us to only worry about being responsible for what God has entrusted us to do and doing it to the best of our ability. That's what's important, folks, is that can God trust you? Can God trust you? And can God trust you? I think Brother Sam Owen, I think God can trust him. Amen. That's why we support him as a missionary. I think he's trustable. It doesn't matter how big his church is or so forth. It only matters that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and I believe he is and does. Give it your all today and let God decide what he will entrust you with in the future. And it may be more. If the one-talented person had brought back 2 talents, he would have received the same compliments that the others received. Amen? He would have received the same. He would have been put in the same class and the same level. It was because he couldn't be trusted is why the talent was taken from him and given to the one that had 10. Because he said, obviously, the one with 10 I can trust. I can't trust the one with 1, so we're going to take it away from him. Thirdly, let me give you some observations this morning. Let me give you some observations, about 75 things, and we'll go home. No, just kidding. Let me give you about 10 observations here just quickly. First of all, realize it's not because of you or yours. It's not because of you or yours. It said in that verse, by several ability, there are some people who may be capable or able to do more, but it's not because of who you are. Nobody's receiving because based on what family they're from or based on, God don't work that way, folks. Or based on who they are or what position they hold in life. God didn't work that way at all. God is giving out based on his grace. And so realize it's not because of you or yours. Secondly, realize you are no greater than others. You are no greater than others. If you've been given a greater area or degree of responsibility to be a steward over, realize it's not because you're greater than somebody else. No, no, not at all. You're not greater than somebody else. You may have more responsibility than somebody else has, but then you're not greater than somebody else. And then that brings us to number three. Realize the awesome responsibility that is yours. Realize the awesome responsibility that is yours. Everybody's been given a degree of responsibility or of talent, so to speak. Make sure that you're getting the most out of it, using it to the fullest, doing what you're supposed to be doing with it. Can God trust you? That's the key. Fourthly, realize no five talented or two talented person ran to it. It ran to them. Let me repeat that, number five underneath this. Realize no, fifth observation, realize no five talented or two talented person ran to it, for it ran to them. God gives it to you. You don't go take it yourself. God gives it to you. You can't take it yourself. If you did, it's not going to be a success. It's not something God's given you then. You've come and taken it yourself. It won't work. The truth of the matter is God gives it to you. Somebody won't really know what level they're at until they're all done with their life. It doesn't really matter. You just do what you're supposed to do. And if you do what you're supposed to do, everything else will take care of itself. And that's what you got to remember. Number six, sixth observation. Realize your job is important. Well, this is number five, ain't it? Five. Yeah, I think I skipped. I didn't skip one. I skipped numbers. Number five. Realize your job is important. Folks, there's no small jobs in the house of God. There's no small jobs in the house of God. And whatever area of responsibility you have, there's no small jobs in the house of God. Cleaning the building doesn't make somebody less of a person than teaching a Sunday school class or something like that. And in many cases, you may do more than one job around here. But there's no small jobs. So, well, I just think I'm being wasted by doing this job. And give me, if the pastor would give me a more important job, then maybe I could get somewhere. Wait a minute. There's no small jobs. There's no small jobs, and there's no small jobs. I remember years and years ago when we first started our church, a lady had come in here, and she wanted to play the flute. And said, well, there's some things you got to do before you just jump up here on the platform and play the flute. And say, you know, usually we give out responsibilities like at a smaller level first. And so, oh, yeah, she's good with that, she said. Well, that lasted about 2 months, and if even that long, for that area of responsibility. And said, when am I going to be able to play my flute? Well, I got news for you, folks. Anybody who talks to me that way about it, guess what they don't do? They don't play the flute or the ukulele or whatever else they play. And they don't play anything here, because guess what? If you're not willing to do the little jobs because you're too important for it, then you don't need to be worrying about being up in front of. That's what people usually want. They want to be up in front of somebody where they can get some pats on the back and make like they're real important around here. You know what? She never did play her flute here, and she didn't stay in the church very long either, because her real angle was, I think, mostly playing the flute. But didn't want to get dirty. Didn't want to do anything that's a those jobs are beneath me type of an attitude. Hey, folks, there are no small jobs. You got a job around here for God. Amen. It's just as important as any other job. The truth of the matter is, it's all God's, isn't it? I mean, this isn't Pastor Painter's church. I'm the pastor of this church. But this church belongs to God. You're God's people. I'm just the pastor who helps oversee you and helps pastor you, but God's God and you're His. And so this isn't my church. I'm just the steward He's placed to help oversee it for Him here on earth of this church. So the truth of the matter is that, listen, it's God's. So the job that you do here is God's job. Now, I help divvy them out. What burns me sometimes is when you think you're too good for a job. That burns me sometimes. Because usually I am the one that ends up doing it, and that kind of burns me, because you thought you were too good to do it, I guess, and then I had to go do it because it was too something beneath you, I guess. But the truth of the matter is, there's no small jobs here. And if I've doled one out and asked somebody to do one, then I expected that you should do it. Amen! Where's the amens at, fellas? Come on. Because I've given them out sometimes, and you reject them, and that makes me wonder. You must think that that job's beneath you, I guess. Huh. There are no small jobs, folks. Stewards. Any job given out is not a small job at the house of God. Hey, realize also that you must invest what you have been given. You must invest what you have been given. God has given all that waste. What God has given them will be sorry one day. You've wasted. Listen, don't waste what God's given you. God's given you something to use for Him, and then you waste it. When you waste it, guess what? You'll look back one day, and God said, listen, you could have used this to help support some missionaries. You could have used this to help support the work of God. You could have used this to help more people get saved. You could have used this, but you didn't use it. Whether it was money, whether it was some ability that you had to be able to do something, whatever it was. But when you've wasted it, you will give an account to God for what He has given you the charge of. And the key is, can God trust you? Hey, how about this? Realize you are responsible for today, and God is responsible for tomorrow. Realize you are responsible for today, and God is responsible for tomorrow. You're responsible for it. God take care of the tomorrows. We spend too much time worrying about tomorrow. You take care of what you've got to do today, God will take care of tomorrow for you. Amen? He'll take care of it for you. You need to take care of what you're responsible for today. Today. Say, well, one day I hope to teach a Sunday school class that will have about 40 students in it. Well, first off, that'd be too big for you anyway. We wouldn't like classes that big around here. But that doesn't matter anyway. If you have a class that has 5 students in it, and say, well, wish we had 10. Well, that must be nice, but you know what? You take care of the 5, and maybe next year you will have 10. Amen. Boy, you sure have dropped off. I don't think you liked that point a few points back, didn't you? And, that's too bad. It's our job to take care of what's our responsibility now. Amen. Realize it's a mistake to overestimate or underestimate your talents. It's a mistake to overestimate or underestimate your talents. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. And you cannot overestimate or underestimate your talents. Pride makes us think too much of our abilities. We think too much of ourselves sometimes because we've got pride. That's why. And you know, that's what happens. People get pride, and then that causes them to think that they're too much being wasted here, because I could be doing such a bigger work over here if I could just have this church over here. That's what pastors think. Or some teacher thinks, if I could just have that class over there, I could do so much better with that class. I'm being wasted over here in this class. And if I could just have that responsibility over there. Hey, pride makes us think that way. Don't think that way. Hey, lastly, how about this? Realize you are wasting time when you spend time attempting to figure out if you are 5-talented or a 2-talented person. Realize you are wasting time when you spend time attempting to figure out if you are a 5-talented or a 2-talented person. You are wasting time. Hey, folks, can you be trusted with what God's given you? Can you? You got to answer that for yourself. Let's stand to our feet.